Hello and welcome to the playoff edition of Football is Life.
And sometime death.
I'm Niffer.
And I'm Andy.
And we got some things to talk about.
A lot of things we get to talk about.
Yeah.
And we may have a special guest later at this episode.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great. Well, we should talk about the MLS. Because here we are. We are about to go into the second round.
Can we start before we start that? I want to give you opportunity to show your excitement and your all the emotion, because you were one of the reason why we beat Nashville, because it was your birthday.
You are so right.
So I went to Nashville.
Yeah, I went to Nashville with my friend Dana. Shout out Dana. We went to the playoff game. My birthday was Wednesday, so we decided that it was appropriate to go to the game. And, you know, it's a playoff game. It's a big one. And I was like, you know what? I want to be there for our second win, because we're not going to play at home against this team again. So I better go. The stadium's amazing. It's brand new. It's beautiful. Yeah. They've got a lot of good food, a lot of good drinks. They have very few suites options, which I'm finding is true at a lot of stadiums. So I'll just note that if you want a little sweet treat, you might want to bring your own. That's all I'm saying about that. Mm-hmm. But about the game, you can hear my voice. This is all, part of this is from the game, because I was shouting a lot because, well, you guys talked about it last week, but Alan Chapman was the referee.
Oh boy.
And so when we were only up 1-0 and decided to do the strategy I hate the most, park the bus instead of keep your foot on the gas, I was so stressed because I was like, Poppy, why don't you know that we are not only playing the 11 Nashville players, but we were also playing Alan Chapman, who is above the rules, who loves to be in charge, who felt so out of control the whole game that I thought he was going to screw us in the final minutes. It was very frustrating, very frustrating. So we started off pretty strong. I felt good about it. We got the goal. And then it was like classic park the bus. It was infuriating. You can ask Dana if you see her out on the streets. You can say, how many swears did Niffer have? And she'll say, I probably shouldn't talk about it because it was a lot of swears. It was not great. So all that to say, I'm very happy that we made it through that game. I thought we were going to have to play last night, to be honest. I just think unless you're up 3-0, do not park the bus for 70 minutes. There were so many opportunities.
McGuire?
No, on Nashville.
The goalkeeper?
Number 10? No, number 10.
Mukhtar. Hani Mukhtar.
Excuse me. Mukhtar. If he hadn't been shut down, they would have won that game, because there were so many other people who were like, they didn't look good. We didn't look good. It was not a great game, to be honest. The people of Nashville are lovely, and the people of Nashville were very nice to us as Orlando City fans, most of them. Some of them were like, boo. But a lot of people were like, wow, did you make the trip up from Orlando? And I said, yeah, we did. We're really excited to beat you guys at home, at your own home. And they would laugh and say, good luck. And it was really nice. And I was the mean one in that case, because being in the away fan makes you already the aggressor, you know?
Okay. So I want to say
that's my summary of the game.
Okay. So I don't know if you heard me on the last episode. I think I agree with you wholeheartedly about barking the bus. However, from somebody wasn't in the stadium, I can tell you it wasn't intentionally parking the bus. Parking the bus happened in the second half of the second half, but the first half, it was so, I call it that our players felt like they are having a gun and they are shooting into the mass. The amount of the balls, the opportunities that we put into when we had the opportunity to score and we put it in the mass of the goalie, it's immense. Yeah. That's my point. About Alan Chapman, I messaged you immediately once I saw his sight in the entering the stadium, I said, a game against Nashville? Because if you remember, I mentioned that also in the last episode. If you remember, our biggest, one of the most controversial games that we ever played, Alan Chapman was our referee. The playoff, the only playoff win that we had before that game was Alan Chapman with the goalkeeper Schlegel. And the second one was the game against Nashville 2 seasons ago when the goal got canceled because Alan Chapman DK goal. So I was furious about it. We won. We're here.
That's what matters.
We're going to play Columbus, who looked scary yesterday against Atlanta. That game, to be honest, the game was fun. Watching Atlanta losing 4-2 was fun. But
I love to see Atlanta lose, especially for our boy Brad to get four goals scored against him. Yeah. I love to see it.
And he looked bad, and it was very satisfying seeing him losing. Anyway, I shouldn't say that out loud. Those are my internal thoughts. so, yeah, I agree.
Listen, the homie is my age, okay? He is 39 years old. That is too old to be playing soccer.
True.
It is.
True.
That's my age. That's too old.
I wish you were here last week when I said Mauricio is 34 and
I laughed listening to the episode.
Yeah, and I said that and Noah came. Do you say that Mauricio is old? I said in soccer, yes.
Yeah.
Gary,
it's a whole different shenanigan when you're talking in soccer age.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm worried. To be honest, about playing Nashville, playing Columbus. Columbus, we beat them 1-0 in a very, the game was the craziest game. I'm mixing games, sorry guys. The game against them was the craziest game of that season. We were losing the whole game until the last 5 minutes when we decided, we know how to win.
Is that the game where we were down by 2 and we got 3 goals in like the last 10 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a fun game, but it was stressful. So I'm not going to be in Exploria for the game. Unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town. Oh, so you guys are going to have to hold down the fort for me.
Yeah, we played them twice this season. We tied the first time in Columbus 2-2 and we beat them 4-3. The good thing about the game is on Saturday in Orlando, so that's a great thing. It's the whole long weekend, which is the Thanksgiving weekend, so I'm hoping that we have enough people in the stadium to cheer.
It'll be a sellout.
I hope it's sellout. I hope the boys really do better when we have the support behind. And we need it. This is gonna be critical because will be passing and stepping on something that we didn't do before. So we passed the first round before in the year that we had Schlegel in the goalie. This is gonna be the first time we had an opportunity to go to the final. This is the semifinal. We can, and honestly, if we pass Columbus, I think.
It's ours to win.
The Eastern Conference is gonna be very close to us. I don't know if you hear me. Did I tell you about our friend Taylor Tolman talking about Orlando in his podcast?
You said it in the episode.
Yeah, so that one was really interesting, and I think what he's saying is correct, and what you're always says. Nefer lately become very profound that we are a team that play according to the team we're playing. We adjust our intensity according to the team we're playing. So, 100%. So I'm worried, yes. And we have to worry. This team, Columbus team show great. They looked so great last night. So,
yeah, but we've had some time to rest.
A lot of time.
So I think that's good.
And that's worrying. That's worrying because you can lose the touch.
Of course you can, but.
And they also, don't forget, there is an international break in the middle too, which is going to start today. There is an international break.
That's right. That's which is why we're not playing the game until the 25th. Yeah.
Yep. There is two weeks. Yep.
From now. So that's 3 weeks off. Yeah, I know. But what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah. That's true. But, oh, I didn't feel that. I was looking at the number for the yesterday game, Columbus and Atlanta. The position in the end of the game was 47-53 Atlanta, which is weird. Oh, but that total shots and the goal 21, Columbus 11, Atlanta. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is that. Any other significant weird thing happened to the... to the bracket? How is your bracket holding?
I actually don't remember what my bracket says. Let me look.
I've been
very, very busy, okay? A very busy woman.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm looking it up. I don't think I'm doing very well, but that's fine. I don't care. As long as Orlando City is doing well, I do not care. It's not showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Try it a different way.
It's on our chat. I'm trying to look at our chat.
It won't load for me.
Oh.
Let's see. I'm sure this is fascinating for the listeners.
I found it. So, you on the West, you predict St. Louis first. St. Louis to stay. St. Louis is out. And I did the same thing.
And I said Real Salt Lake would go, and they did not.
Yeah, I said Houston going,
man.
And I won. I said it's going. My bottom part, me and you are our bottom.
The only thing I have right in this whole round is Orlando City and Cincinnati. Everything else is busted.
Oh yeah, you said Philadelphia is gonna go. Oh wow.
No, I said New England would go over Philly.
Yeah, sorry, I meant go out. Wow, my bracket is still surviving completely, with exception of St. Louis.
Well, here's the thing. As long as Orlando City ends up as a champion, then I'm fine.
Me too.
I don't care what else happens.
Me too. But
I do think that Philly is going to give Cincinnati a run for their money.
I think, and I said that last week too, that the only team before yesterday game of Columbus, the only team in the whole bracket that worrying me is Philly. Philly is the team that worries me in the whole playoff right now. But if this goes as expected, I will be so grateful. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I have another problem.
I had LA in there too. So...
Yeah, I said Seattle. Sorry, LA gonna go out in Vancouver stay, but LA stayed.
I have LA Seattle as the matchup. Mine is like upside down from the one I'm looking at right now, so that's why I got confused.
Yeah, you were right on the West, on the bottom part of the West. Yes.
Yeah. Man, I'm nervous about this being single elimination though.
I mean,
it's better than what we were doing. I didn't like that format. Hey, can these games, if they have a tie, do they go to extra time? Or is it straight to PKs for this round?
Extra time, and this is what they were saying in the stadium. It's extra time, then penalty kicks.
Okay.
I don't understand why they did it that way, because but we are American. We love to do everything different. I don't understand why they didn't do it like all the world on those knockoff. Do two games, home and away. If they tie in the number of goals, the goal will count by two when you play outside, play away. That's simple.
I know.
And if they tie, play penalty kicks. That's it. And the team was the higher seed play the second game, which the team was higher, lower seed go first. So if this is the situation in our Columbus, we play the first game in Columbus, the second game in home, and then go from that path. It's all about Apple. It's all about Apple.
It's about the money, baby.
Money, money.
Money, money, money.
Money, so, money. Your prediction that we're going to make it to the final, we're going to play.
Yeah, Orlando's going to be Columbus, and then we're going to be Cincinnati. And
you think Cincinnati is going to play beat Philly?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Although, I wouldn't be that surprised if Philly wins, but it's possible. I do think that it's going to be LA and Houston on the other side.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. The Sounders have the history, but I don't think they have it this year.
Even Seattle is getting better the last couple games, but
yeah, they're getting hot at the right time, but I just don't think it's all there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting the next couple few games. All right. So we have our special guest today. We have Casey with us today, and I'm so excited because I finally have internet, so I can talk to her. Not like last time.
Right.
So I want to, before we start anything, I want to hear your some of your thoughts about how this week was crazy in EPL.
Oh my gosh. It was just like, y'all, I have such gratitude. I never thought I'd say this. I have such gratitude for Chelsea right now. Just slowly showing back up. And deciding to just make it as chaotic as possible, like, bless, as an Arsenal fan, like, I love watching them take points off of everybody else. That's been just great. So, yesterday it was like, I just, at the beginning of the second half when Man City got that goal, I was like, okay, it's over. Like, that was a cute little first half. And, like, we're going to just, you know, roll with it, and Man City's going to do what Man City does. And then, no, it ended up, like, 4-4. I just never saw it coming. So it's been a chaotic season, for sure. And I think it's just going to keep going that way. It's super fun.
I felt the same thing. I saw the score 2-1, 2-2. Then I said, oh, boy, here we go again. Then I turned it on, and it was 3-2 to Man City. And I said, okay, it's time to watch football. It's no more. Then I see it's 4-4, and I was, what the heck just happened? Then I went back and watched the whole thing. I hope that the English Premier League for this season, it stay like this until the summer, or at least spring. But I hope so. So, what do you want to talk about first? NWSL. New coach that are not 100%, or the lovely men national team and their all the drama.
We have so much to pick from. It's like, it's funny because I'm sitting there and I'm like, which of these is like the simplest to address? Because all of them were, you know, just been a lot right now. I guess we could start with NWSL and the championship, because that's, I think, honestly, of the three, that might be the easiest to address.
True. So,
yeah, definitely.
I will say what I texted you. Who in the world decided to play in such very bad turf that I have a problem, and I'm worried about the World Cup, because every time we have a natural turf, we look so horrible, and it's worrying because we don't have a stadium with a good turf.
No, it was embarrassing too. I mean, it was especially embarrassing in the semifinal match when you could still see like SDSU's logo on it. And I'm like, did y'all even try? Did you try at all? So,
and the conference logo was on the last section of the field. It was very dark logo. I think they are a mountain the San Diego College. They are in the Mountain Conference. I don't know. It's very blocky black in that section.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad. And then I guess they made the decision, you know, obviously they got a lot of feedback about the logo still being visible. And they, instead of trying to paint over it, then just cut the grass as short as they could to get rid of it as much as they could, which then led to all of those spots that you could see that obviously are also a safety concern. So, you know, it was a bummer because otherwise it was a really successful championship in so many ways, but to have a pitch that looks like that is just not acceptable at this level. So, yeah.
And actually, to be honest with you, even in MLS side, I don't think we have a real good field that you can see on the TV that we say, yep, that's good. Unless it's hybrid or artificial, we're good. But once it's natural, I don't know what's wrong with us.
Yeah, because we've been dealing with that at LAFC over at, I guess, now BMO for a while too, where it's like, it actually looks pretty good most of the time because we don't have other sports on it. But you get one concert on that thing and it's noticeable. You see all the brown spots everywhere. So I don't know. I think we just have to be more careful with our products there.
And we have a World Cup coming in 4 years.
Yeah, totally ready. It's going to be great.
We have CONCACAF next year. We've got the Club World Cup the year after. So yeah. We've got a couple practice runs to get through, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm like, if there's somebody whose expertise is this type of grass, like, this is your moment. You go reach out to any of these facilities. I think there are job openings.
True. Yeah, for sure.
And FIFA has job openings also for everybody listening. So,
amazing. Okay, well, the game itself, though, was a good final.
Fantastic final. I mean, it could not have done more to deliver on the entertainment value situation. I mean, those last 10 minutes were madness. And if you're someone who only watched the final and has not watched the rest of the season, that is fairly typical of NWSL. It is that chaotic. So if you like madness, like, it's great. And I'm glad that we were able to advertise that product.
For sure. And
from tactical perspective too, I enjoyed it. I liked Lynn Williams' runs on the line. Those were chef kiss to me. I was enjoying that because this is something we missed in the World Cup. Her on that line, just opening a highway on this run. Rosa Lavelle, I don't know what's going on with her. I am concerned because I didn't see her explosive, and also that last free kick looked horrible.
Well, to be fair, they had like 10 people in that wall, so I'm not really sure where she was supposed to put that thing. But you know, I think she's still getting back into it. She's still so creative and dances around in the midfield like nothing I've seen it. Another very seldom see it, especially in the women's game. I think she's just so creative. So I'm just thrilled to see her getting some of that movement back. I do think, you know, obviously Rapido's injury, heartbreaking and a devastating way for a career to end, but also just tactically really forced Rain into a corner. That midfield is designed very specifically to, you know, kind of suffocate and then allow Rose to go on her merry way or Rapido to go on her merry way. And once you pull that part of that puzzle, it just became a little bit challenging there. So. Mm-hmm.
And from us as Orlando Pride people, we were so happy that Allie won because end of the day, she's one of us. She still
forever, forever Orlando.
Yes, and she still lives here, and we see her sometimes in the downtown, so in Winter Park. So yes, we were feeling, and also I don't remember, somebody said that on Twitter that there is the representation of players who came from Orlando Pride was really high to the point that you feel Orlando Pride were playing there. But
that's amazing. So fun. Well, I was sad to see Megan go out with an injury. I think everybody was. It's just one of those things where you feel like, gosh, the showing at the World Cup and then to end the season like this, like, it feels a little reminiscent of like Kobe's final season where you're like, let's remember her in, you know, in seasons past. But she's such a leader. I understand why they would want to keep her involved and on the team. And of course, like, you can't prepare for injury like that. So we wish her all the best getting better and for whatever her next adventure will be.
That was one of the things that I think made me laugh so hard post-game was she was saying, like, she's now achieved her personal nightmare, which is that she's got to be a normal person in physical therapy.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. There won't be trainers helping her every day get through it. That's true. She'll see her recovery time get longer, I'm sure, than normal.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, enjoy Select physical therapy like the rest of us, which I know no shade to Select. They're nice folks. But yeah. You know, different than I'm sure what she's been getting.
Or go.
Yeah. She probably knows a couple people.
Yeah, she probably does.
Yeah.
Or go see what whatever Aaron Rodgers is doing anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
I have a conspiracy theory there. I'm not gonna go. I think he is faking it to screw the Packers. That's all. Sorry.
I mean, he could. You never know. It did really screw up their draft pick situation. So
true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I think the next one we can to go with the women coach, because I want to hear your take, because that one is going to be interesting, because I think she's a great fit.
Yeah, I think she's fantastic if it's happening. And that's continued to be my concern, is her coming in after she finishes the season with Chelsea in the WSL and in Champions League, which could take her, if they progress through Champions League all the way to the end of May, you know, it's very contrary to everything U.S. soccer has ever said about who they want in this role and what they want to do. You are essentially going to sacrifice probably a fair shot at the Olympics to do it. She's a great coach. She's a fantastic hire. I don't disagree with doing it. It just is not what U.S. soccer has ever said they were going to do.
So let me just clarify this. We are talking about Emma Hayes, the coach of Chelsea, who is rumored that she's coming to be our national coach to replace Vlad. Anyway, that's a different topic.
It's a very different philosophy than the way that we've been. But I also think the team is having such a big shift. Like, it really is. The old guard is like, kind of aging out, retiring, moving on. It's like, it might be the right time for a new philosophy. And Vlad was such a bust that this feels like, at least it feels hopeful. And I think we care more about the World Cup than we do about the Olympics, for sure. And so it's a little bit of a ding to our egos to lose the World Cup and potentially a Summer Olympics back to back.
Yeah, that was my next question to Casey. Do you think that we are sacrificing the Olympics to build future? Because technically the next World Cup is in US. So are we, well, not 100%, but most probably it's going to be here. But is it that what we are trying to do?
Yeah, I think that that's essentially what you're doing. I do think Emma Hayes, if there's going to be anybody that comes in late and gives us a good shot at this, it will be her. You know, if the rumors are true and she is, you know, has progressed through and is being hired, and if the rumored plan is true that she will put in her own interim coach during this time frame, you could, in theory, start to get, you know, quite a bit of progress made. The other thing that I think is interesting with the Olympics that a lot of folks forget is that roster is tiny. You only get 18 players at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can bring that many to begin with. So she can do a lot with kind of concentrating the pool down. But I also think the Olympics as a cornerstone sort of women's soccer competitions is going to go away eventually here. So from my perspective, I don't really mind if we're not putting as much emphasis on it, because I just don't see it, frankly, existing the same way it does in the next decade. So why not focus on the World Cup, which is going to be here and going to continue to be, you know, such a big, you know, revenue and interest generator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that point. I was about to ask a question, but I lost it. Sorry. Yeah, I see the point, but really quick question. Do you happen to know if the Women World Cup has the same regulation like the men. I can't remember for the love of me that if they have the same restriction that they can't have players older than 23. If you have older than 23, you have to have you have three only.
The Olympics have consistently been all ages can play, and that's because FIFA wasn't threatened by the Olympics existing, so they haven't restricted Olympic soccer in the same way they have on the men's side, where the men's teams can only be 23 and under plus three players who are over the age of 23. I think that restriction is probably coming as FIFA continues to monetize the Women's World Cup and sees growth there. I don't think they're going to want that kind of competition. And you're also seeing growth not just in the World Cup, but in these other FIFA, you know, subordinate competitions, such as, you know, UEFA with Euros, or we have CONCACAF and we have a Gold Cup. Like, these things are going to continue to get more interest and be taken more seriously. And I think at that point, FIFA is not going to just be like, here, have our little women's tournament. We don't care. You enjoy. Like, I think they're going to claw that back pretty quick here.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, the only, I don't, you guys going to pick on me, sorry. When I worked on the Olympics, the only sport that I didn't go and worked for attend was the women's soccer. Sorry.
Missed opportunity.
I have 27 sports.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. So let's talk about the last one, because I've been holding myself for quite a while because I have a lot of thoughts about what the heck is going on with men. Because the men is ridiculously unorganized. We are having Vlaco 2.0 happening in the men. Greg is not doing anything with a vision. Everything is crappy. You watch them, they are barking the bus in the middle of the game. I was talking to Neff for a couple of times that I really sincerely wish that we are tanking badly and we lose badly in the CONCACAF, in the Copa America next summer, so we can have eye opening and we go get a good coach for the World Cup, because I believe we are in the gold age of this team. If we lose this, God know when we gonna have another generation like this.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I am increasingly concerned about what's going on. I don't think the injury trouble is helping things, because now we're going to see a few new folks, you know, we're going to see some new folks rotated, which I'm always happy to see for this new window here. But the Germany and Ghana games were disappointing. Disappointing. Yeah. Especially when you look at what like Mexico and Germany were able to do. And like, in theory, you can say, the Germany against us had like a new coach bounce type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in practice, it's like, were they that good? Probably not. We just had kind of some midfield messes that I think they were able to capitalize on. So I don't know. I don't see what the vision is. I don't see what the plan is. I'm concerned that he's alienating himself with players again.
Yeah.
Because there's been those rumors that Ballo and him are not getting along well. And that really worries me. And I continue Portland. To be. Yeah. It's. I don't know. Oops, sorry. My dog here has dropped a toy, which is always fun. But, you know, you look at the, just on a statistical level, the differences in goals and outcomes when Gio Reyna is on the field versus not. And, like, you can't deny that.
It's outstanding.
No, it's just crazy. So, I mean, even just from the eye test on his talent, like, you can't, I'm not a huge fan of like over reliance on data when it comes to soccer, but it's really hard to deny those ones. So I'm glad he's back in. I hope they're vibing. I would like to see John Brooks get back in the mix. I don't understand why he's not getting back in the mix. And it's, I don't know, having a coach that has this kind of like personal vendetta situation where you never know who he's going to be feuding with is just not ideal.
And for example, for me, why in the world in the last squad you didn't pick Weah? I don't understand that. I was telling a couple of my friends, the boys, you have in the front, you have Pepe, Zerdas, Padres, and Boulogne, all in, those are your options. You should scoring 6, 7, 8 goals a game. You have in the midfield, you have Arison, you have Reyna, you have Tillman, you have Musa, and you have on the side, you have somebody like Dest, and you have Robinson. It's a great team. When you are saying that the position that maybe you are talking about who gonna be there is your goalkeeper, this is where, how strong is your team? You can throw people in the team, and you have somebody like Tyler Adams still trying to recover from his injury. When he comes, you have a midfield that's ridiculous. I think that midfield was a good coach in a game like England in the last World Cup. We beat them easily.
Yep, but completely agree.
I think we should go get Bradley, and that's it. I love Bob Bradley. So,
well, so I used to love Bob Bradley, and then I dealt with him at LAFC for a while. So, you know, it's been. I was super stoked when we got him, and then by the end, the tactics just got stale. And for me, it's like I don't think he's evolved his game. I think we saw that at Toronto as well. So, you know, as a nostalgia factor, I miss him, but I don't think he's the coach we had before at this point. Get Klinsmann back, but I know everybody's gonna yell.
I will take him any day. I will take Klinsmann. I will take anybody from Germany, because that's what we need right now. That's my perspective. What we need a system. And Germans, put them, they will build you a system that will produce years and generations of talent and people who play in a format. Something I always believe, the difference between German, the Mannschafts. Sorry, Casey, I'm a big Mannschaft fan. I'm a big Germany. So when we talk Sweden and Germany, I will jump here. So I think the brilliance of Germany as a team, they are a team. They are not one person, one man show. Like when we compare them to Brazil is multiple talents across the field, but they are not homogenous as a team like Germany. Germany is a unit. You move them as one gear, move them one side as a gear. That's what I think our team needs now, because we have a lot of individualism in the team.
Yeah, don't disagree at all in general. It's hard though, where it's like, I would normally say that about Germany, but their whole situation is such a mess right now, where it's like, do we want anything to do with Germany right now? Probably not. On the men's and the women's side, which is confusing to me. I don't know how you completely bottled it so bad on both sides. I don't know what's going on with that federation, but they need a wholesale change, it looks like.
Yeah, there is something wrong. I think, I hope, as a Germany fan, that next Euro, because they are hosting it, this can be adjusted, even if there is no indication this is going to be fixed. But I hope so. And the German and the women team. The women team was very highly prospective coming to the last World Cup, and they tanked. And I don't understand what's going on there. So I think Germany need another Beckenbauer. They need another Beckenbauer come and yell at them, adjust them, and move them forward.
Yeah, we'll see what happens at Euros, because when you're hosting, you expect to have a good showing. You know, they've brought in, obviously, a bright young coach. So I would hope that you're optimistic that with a little bit of time and, you know, renewed enthusiasm, things get sorted. But this has the potential to be a really big, embarrassing, you know, tournament for them.
But in the historical, Germany do not good in the tournament they host. I was in 2006. I was working there, so I know it very well. So, we can talk about soccer for hours, right, Nefer?
Yeah, we can.
Casey, do you have any preference in the men's MLS?
Yeah, so I'm an LAFC fan. That is my team. I'm sure, like y'all, I don't know anyone who's had anything positive to say about the playoff format. I don't know why this is dragging out so long. You know, we took care of Vancouver as handily as we could, because, of course, we're LAFC. That's what we do. And now it's like we have to wait until the 26th place Seattle. I don't like that. We were gaining momentum. We were in a good spot. And now that's who we're playing. It's not, you know, it's always an entertaining matchup, but we're going to Seattle. So I, you know, I don't love it. I just think we've been sitting at home for now almost a month. So
tell me about it, because we finished, yeah, we finished Nashville in two games. So we are going to sit here and wait. Is this mean that if LAFC wouldn't go to the final, you're coming to Orlando to watch them?
I mean, I got no issue coming to Orlando, especially this time of year. That's a fun. If it's Orlando and LAFC, let's do it.
We will be there. We have our tickets. We are hoping, because from Orlando perspective, this is going to be the second time we go to semifinal, and last time we played New England. And New England at that time, after a horrific, the worst game in the history of MLS playoff. Thanks, Alan Chapman. This is the hater. This team is the hater of Alan Chapman, by the way. Let me introduce you to me and Nefer.
I'm his least favorite fan.
Yeah.
You're like just number one hater right here.
I don't know if you heard about this game before. We played New York FC in the first round. And Alan Chapman, I think he forgot most of the rules of soccer as a referee, from weird yellow cards to the debacle of penalty kicks when he gave a red card to our goalkeeper, and he allowed for a minute a substitution happening in the knockoff penalty kicks, which is not allowed. He allowed that for a second until the fourth referee came to him and said, "Watch out, this is wrong." So he said, "We can't do that." Oh, so finally, we had one of our players stand in the goal, and we start to play. Our player saved one of the penalties. So he whistled in the game, even it was the first one of one and one. Until somebody ran to him and he said, "No, no, 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 this is incorrect." So he whistled back, bring the players in, but thankfully we scored and we won. That's Alan Chapman.
It was. I was supposed to be at the game. I had COVID, so I couldn't go. I had to give tickets to friends. Watching at home, totally like a zombie. And I was like freaking out. And I was like, why is this happening? And the commentators were like, what?
I would recommend if like, you have a minute. Just search it on YouTube. It's ridiculous.
Jeez. I'm trying to figure out how I missed this, but I'm sitting here and I'm like, that might have been the year we weren't very good, and then I checked out. But
that was a COVID year, so 20.
Yeah, it was a COVID year. We had a rough season there, yeah. So that would probably be why.
So yeah, you're welcome to come and if we play on the final, because that we are higher seed. Sorry. So you're welcome.
We're higher seed than everybody who's left.
Except Cincinnati.
Well, I'd, like I said, much rather, I've got, you know, ladies over on Soccer Crush podcast, who I've got on there before too, and they're all Cincinnati fans, and I'm like, love y'all. I have no interest in visiting here during this time of the year, especially. You know, this is more pleasant.
And you can get your business class flights to here, so you can live your life.
Perfect. Exactly.
Casey, before we all have to jump off, will you tell us where the people can find you on the internet?
Yeah, sure. So I'm mostly on TikTok. I'm at Casey's on the Case, all with C's, easy to find on TikTok. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter, but it may be less soccer content. It's still soccer content, but it's a little bit chaotic because I still talk lawyer stuff and day job stuff on my Instagram, but TikTok is your best bet for where to find me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us and giving us the overview of all things US soccer and a little NWSL. We're really excited about the end of the MLS season and looking forward to everything that's to come. So
thanks for having me.
Oh yeah, of course. Andy, any last thoughts?
No.
Okay. Until next time. Go City.